This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Computers, as we all know, are taking over more and more of our lives. To be clear, that is not necessarily a bad thing. E-commerce and social networks and search, to name just the most obvious examples, rely on machines learning more and more about what we like so that they can give us more and more of what we want. You take that to its logical extension, though, and there are a whole lot of questions to be asked about how far machines that can learn might go. Pedro Domingos examines some of those questions and has some of the answers in his new book. It's called The Master Algorithm. Pedro, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
I wonder if maybe the first thing we ought to do, since in all honesty, I'm not quite clear on what algorithms are, let's give a basic definition of terms, shall we?
Yeah, sure. An algorithm is just, you know, a set of instructions that you give to a computer. It's how you tell computers to do what you want them to do. So everything in the world that uses computer these days, and that's pretty much everything in the world, involves algorithms.
Let me then sort of cut to the chase here and get to this idea you have of the master algorithm, which, not to be pejorative at all here, but it sounds a little scary.
Well, a master algorithm is a machine learning algorithm. And what is machine learning? The computer is not programmed by a human anymore. It just learns by itself. Google uses it to choose what search results to give you. Amazon, you know, uses it to recommend products. Facebook and Twitter use it to choose posts. But it doesn't end there. There's this race going on now, right? And this is also what the master algorithm is about, between these companies to model you as best they can. You know, like how Sergey Brin says that Google wants to be the third half of your brain?
Yeah.
They do. And the interesting thing is that, well, the first two halves of your brain are in your skull, and the third one, you know, is on a server in Oregon somewhere, right?
Wow.
There's pieces of your brain, essentially, you know, in that sense, scattered all over the world right now. And I think they're going to come together, and then, you know, there will be this virtual you, you know, this avatar. You don't even know or care exactly where it is, but it's doing things on your behalf all the time, interacting with other models and so forth, just as if it was you.
So talk to me then now about practical applications in my daily life, my business life, a company's life of the master algorithm. Where does this play out, do you think?
Yeah. You know, say, you know, you're looking for a date. You know, the algorithms right now are not very good. But what's going to happen, soon is that there's going to be an algorithm you view that can go on a date with somebody else's model. And it goes on a date 1,000 times with 1,000 people. And then, you know, and then finally ranks these people by how well on average those dates went. So, and, you know, and that algorithm can do your shopping for you. It can research a new car. It can, you know, it can haggle with the car dealers. Things that you would do if you had the time, but you don't.
Okay, number one, terrifying. But number two, then, how do we make sure that it's under my control?
You know, at the end of the day, as much as companies like Google and Facebook want to be the third half of your brain, I think you want that model to be under the control of a different type of organization, if you will. I think it should be something like, you know, a data bank. You entrust your bank with your money. They're not going to run away with it. They know that if they lose it, you know, it's going to be bad for them.
All right, so I'm not saying this to be a smart aleck. I'm really not. But come on. This company's going to figure out a way to make some extra money by selling ads based on your model or whatever, because people, model, algorithm or not, are people.
There is always that danger. But again, you know, consider the case of your bank, right? Your bank isn't stealing money from you because it knows. I mean, people are self-interested, right? So yes, it is human nature. But what has to happen is that their self-interest has to be aligned as much as possible with yours. And it will be if they realize that if they do that, they will suddenly lose all their business because people will be really mad at them. But I think something like this is possible, and certainly better than what happens today, where this is really all essentially just happening without your control and without you even really realizing what's going on.
I promise you I am not the only person hearing this who says machine learning how to create other algorithms and goes, oh my goodness, this is the rise of the robots.
More and more things in the world today are being done by computers and by robots, and even more of them will be in the future. But that's a good thing, right? It's just the progression of automation. The critical question is, are those robots and computers under our control? And yes, I think they will stay under our control. There's a very few simple things that we can do to ensure that. And, you know, Terminator isn't going to happen.
You promise?
Yes, I promise. Okay. Unless, you know, unless we bring it on ourselves, right?
No, wait. You can't say, yes, I promise, but then say, unless.
Well, you know, it's like the apple in Eden, right? You know, if we bite the apple, then we bring it on ourselves. So, as long as we don't bite the apple, we'll be fine. But we'll see, right? At the end of the day, it's still down to us.
Pedro Dominguez is a professor of computer science at the University of Washington. His book is called The Master Algorithm, if that is really him on the other end of the line, and not just a computer. I mean, we never know. Professor, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks a lot.